It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
The lighting is all over the place. It goes dark, then it goes bright, then it goes dark.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, thanks as always for making your way here. Checking out the episode. Hope you subscribe to the full series. You do that, I give you three new interviews every single week. New and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at all the usual places, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Just recently, let's see, some of my guests I've had on include Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, Jerry Harrison of The Talking Heads. We had Idina Menzel, Barry Manilow, The Hives, the filmmakers behind the movies Heart of Stone, They Clone Tyrone, and Landscape with Invisible Hand. Also recently talked with Madison Beer, Fosia, Bethany Cosentino, and we had the 800th episode special that featured Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Janelle Monáe, Keanu Reeves and Dogstar, Suki Waterhouse, Rob Lowe, Monica Bellucci, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I'm talking with Westlife. That's right. Nikki, Kian, Mark, Shane, they're all here. And we're going to talk about their very first North American tour. Yes, they have been a band for 25 years. Yes, they were parts of the boy band explosion of the late 90s. No, they never have done a proper North American tour, but that is ending around St. Patrick's Day. They're doing some select dates around there, and most of the shows sold out immediately, even before the general sale went on. It was just the pre-sale stuff, immediate sale. So the hunger for Westlife in America, still there, still going strong. We're going to be talking all about that. I'll get their reaction to having those dates immediately sell out. They're going to talk about the advice that Simon Cowell gave them early on, how their latest album, Wild Dreams, finds them getting back to a pure pop music sound. We'll also hear what it's like to work with younger songwriters who talk about having grown up on their music, the massive success that covering You Raise Me Up afforded them, finding a nice Billy Joel vibe on their new song Magic, or song it's on their latest album, Wild Dreams. And I'll also ask what they see in K-pop and current pop trends, having been, in that genre for a quarter of a century. It's all that and more. It's Kyle Meredith with Westlife.
Hey, Kyle. It's good to be on the show, Kyle.
Let me first say the outstanding music that you put out through your career has only gotten better. You did the record a few years ago called Wild Dreams, but you've never made it to an American tour, and that's changing next year in March. Some shows already sold out. First off, hi, but also, what took so long, y'all? We've been here.
That's the question we keep on getting. I don't know. It's strange because, it's almost happening. And we didn't even, not that we didn't mean or that there wasn't effort put into it, but it's kind of happening. We had no idea that the gigs were going to sell out and there's going to be more gigs put on. And there's just, on top of regards of ticket sales, there just seems to be a very good vibe. It's like just tapped into something new almost, you know. When we first came here 20 whatever years ago in 1999, we were thinking, you know, how can we convince the entire American public to, you know, like Westlife and become fans? But what we're realizing is that there's a lot of people in America, which, because it's a country that people move to and work in. So there's lots of people from other countries, you know, expats that maybe from a country where they grew up that Westlife is known. And so you've got a lot of Irish people, you've got a lot of Asian people, say from the Philippines, just Chinese people, you know, all sorts of people from all over the world. And so it's sort of like a, might be a bit of a sidestep, but you know, it's a really cool thing because there's thousands of people that want to come and see our gigs in all these cities. And so, you know, we're happy to fill out the gigs and sell out the gigs, and whoever wants to come is welcome.
Well, it is, and to see those shows, I mean that must have been something. Like, it's finally happening. We're finally booking them, and just sold out, sold out, sold out, right away. Like, I don't know if you can, you probably can't predict that. I'm sure you're hopeful of that.
No, you can't
No,
predict it. No.
there was no, as Mark said, there was no, like, we didn't have a temperature on the ground of what the demand for a Westlife show would be. But, and Mark's right, you know, all he only selected a couple of countries, but you've also got, we were quite successful in Mexico. We were so, quite successful in Brazil and Argentina. So, you know, a lot of the people who supported us when they were very young have grown up and moved and are working in the States or Canada or whatever. And then equally, our first record here sold 500,000 in the round. So there is a small pocket of American fans that like pop music and I guess European style pop music as well. So we didn't know would we sell when we put on the likes of Radio City Music Hall in New York. Was that going to sell the capacity of 6,100, or was it going to sell six? And that was a big risk. And I remember on the morning it went on sale, like we're all on WhatsApp and we're, you know, we're in touch with our management going, you know, with the emoji with the eye like this going, well, is it abysmal? Is it 100 tickets? Is it none? Is it? And we just, the result was like bang, bang. Boston sold out, New York sold out, you know, Canada, we need to add more, Chicago. And then all of a sudden, we're like, well, you know, that's amazing. Like, you know, 20 years plus into the band,
Yeah.
we're still, I guess, breaking new ground. And that's made me personally, and I know it's the same for the lads, more excited than ever. That, you know, what it is we do, but we're able to kind of venture into these new territories and have fun you know, life's for living. You know, where you don't get any younger, so take the risks. You know, drink the coffee. You know, have fun. And we've done that. We gambled. It's paid off. We're really excited.
I will say that I say this tongue in cheek, a little surprised that you guys picked, you know, to base this around St. Patrick's Day, because I figured you guys would hate us for what we've done to that holiday.
It's not St. Patty's Day, by the way. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Right. But yeah, we've just made that an abomination. So if you're coming to take it back, I completely, yes, I
We just
understand.
come
It's
to balance it out. It's done
yeah.
how it's done.
We're here to embrace it.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Westlife. There was a quote that you guys said somebody said in 2018 that we won't step away from this until we've managed to tour the whole world. And that really does seem like it's been like, I mean, not that I'm asking you to step away from this ever again, please don't. But it does seem like that's been sort of the one prime directive.
Like, I think social media has kind of opened our eyes to how many countries we've been successful in. You know, when we announce new dates in different countries around the world, all we get is a flurry of comments underneath going, please come here, please come here, please come here, which is incredible, you know. And I think for us as a band, I suppose throughout our career, we always thought that we were only successful in certain pockets of the world. But what we haven't realized is how much it's spread. I mean, even when we came to New York this week, we were walking down the street and somebody's putting their window down, going, "Oh my God, it's Westlife!" And we were like, "Hold on, that was an American accent. That wasn't an
Exactly.
Irish accent or an
No,
English accent, you know." So I think like we did happy St. Patrick's Day.
no.
So you know, I think it is hard for us to read and hard for us to gauge because I suppose things have changed so much in the music industry. Before it was based on record sales, and now that's kind of changed a lot, you know, because people are streaming music and they're watching YouTube more so than buying records. And it's you know, interestingly enough, somebody showed us a statistic recently of our YouTube page, and it was like 35% of people that watch our YouTube page on a regular basis were Americans. So things like that, you kind of go,
Wow.
how is that happening? You know,
So we're doing the Rose Bowl in California next year.
so we don't know how many nights we could do in Radio City because we've put on one, it's sold out. You know, Canada, we put on one, we're now on three. You know, so it's kind of like, and the problem that we have now is there's no dates available for us to add shows on. So we're a little bit frustrated with that. But, you know,
the venues, yeah.
Yeah, the venues are all already taken up. So, look, it's a great position to be in. We're delighted to be doing it. And, you know, as we said in our comment, we really do want to reach parts of the world that we've never been to, or parts of the world that we didn't realize we had success in.
You know, Simon McCall said to us, because we were with him for, you know, 20 odd years or whatever in the first part of our career, he signed us as teenagers. And he used to say to us in his office, guys, there are no rules. and we never fully understood what he meant.
How did he say it again?
Guys, there are no rules. And you know what? He's so sorry, this way. But you know what? Now at 44 years of age, we kind of understand what he means. You know, sitting here going, yeah, there are no rules. You know, don't listen to, or don't kind of just follow the trend. You know, like I said earlier, drink the coffee, buy the shoes, enjoy yourself. You know,
and wear the hoodie.
Wear the
coffee. I'm not coffee.
Well, drink the beer.
But it's also like, don't be afraid to take risks, you know, like, because it was a risk, maybe.
If you sit on the fence, you'll get splinters.
Announcing these shows, and you'd never know unless we did it, you know. And I think, you know, we did a show in Mexico, like, recently, and it was the first time we'd been there in, like, 19 years. And it was a big festival. It was, like, 50-odd thousand people at it. And literally, they were all singing every word, every single person in there. So it was just kind of, I suppose, breaking new boundaries and not being afraid to take risks, like we said. And this risk has definitely worked out.
Well, and to compliment you, I mean, people are finding you still because of the music. I mean, the music is the bottom line, right? Right. You put out an excellent record, which is what now, just a couple of years old, with Wild Dreams. And, you know, listening to that, and especially listening to it even more this week, as I was thinking about this interview, I understand the time it came from. Obviously, it's where a lot of albums sort of came from during the, you know, lockdown pandemic and all that. But hearing it sort of in this context, do you all get the feeling, as I listen to it anyway, is what I took from it, that a lot of the album is almost, it's not nostalgic, but it's almost like trying to get back to something.
Trying to get back to pop, yeah. Just pure pop music, you know. That's what, I suppose, back in the day, you know, we were a boy band, like, but we were a pop group. And we love pop music. And I think Wild Dreams is very much like that. I think Hello My Love is very much like that. But there's obviously, you got to try and have, I suppose, an edge to it too, and try and develop and grow with your music. But, you know, our fans love, obviously, you know, the hits. They love the catalogue. They love the 20 years of songs that are now becoming nearly timeless in a way, some of our songs, because they're memories for people. Every night we sing these shows, you know, they want to hear the hits. They want to hear the memories, because they remember where they were when they listened to that song first. And somebody asked us earlier on today, why don't you, you know, you don't change your songs too much when you perform them live. Why is that? It's because people love the songs the way they were.
People will give out if we do.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it is. It's memories for people. And I kind of think, you know, pop music will always be popular music, you know.
With these songs, you know, and I know so many of them do start with you all writing them. But, you know, as you work with other songwriters as well, do you find then that there's, like, how do you still get to the Westlife thing, you know, when you're working with these other songwriters who are newer generations than you worked with before, you know? And you know, you mentioned Hello My Love, and we're talking about Ed Sheeran there. You've also got Steven from Codeine on here, who I've had on this series. Like when you're working with this newer generation, is there still a need for it to be Westlife?
Well, you know, well, yeah, I mean, we, you know, it's always going to be Westlife, but some of the guys you've mentioned, whether it's Stephen Codeline or the Picture This guys or anything, all these people are younger than us and grew up when we were having our major success. So I know we all found when we were in the different writing rooms and Zooms, because it was during COVID, the pandemic, and when we spoke about Westlife, you know, they all had their different kind of ideas of what Westlife, you know, was or needs to be or where it evolves to. And all of those guys would be like, oh, the big Westlife ballads, Flying Without Wings, Swear It Again, you know, those big songs. And then World of Rome, the up-tempos, or When You're Looking Like That. And again, those guys were in school or college or, well, school when we were, you know, kind of college years. And they had those memories. But again, it's part of the, I guess, the first answer of evolving. And we did more writing on this album, on that Wild Dreams album, than we probably have ever done.
But I think the voice is good. The most thing that comes back to you said, how do you get it to sound like Westlife? You know, it always comes back to the voices. You know, that we love to sing together. We have a sound. It's different to anyone else, obviously, and it's Westlife, and it will always be Westlife. And no matter what song we sing, we can turn it into a Westlife song. But you know, again, it has to be a great song, and that's the great ones are the ones that stand out then.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Westlife.
And to speak on some of those great songs, too. I mean, Lifeline, you know, one of the personal favorites that I've had off this one. I'm looking at my list over here, just the notes I took. I mean, Alive. Nikki, you wrote that one, right? That one
came from a couple of the guys from Picture This, the Irish band as well. Yeah. And again, that song, the chorus in that song, if you listen to the lyrics, it's completely about the world coming back. The way, you know, having everybody been locked up for so long. Lifeline, the boys, Shane and Mark wrote. Did you guys write that one?
Mm-hmm. Amy Wedge.
With Amy Wedge. And again, great track. And I think we possibly could have done more, you know, but we were all in separate places at that time as well. So it was a challenging time for the band, if you want the truth, because we were never album. Together.
It was tricky. Yeah, it was a tricky album to make.
It's not an album, I think, that, or the making of that album is not a time that I think we'd all want to revisit any time soon. That doesn't mean we all can't, you know, get in and do in future when we do write again or do decide to do an album again, and we can look at those avenues. But we're actually approaching our 25th anniversary at some point of Swear It Again, Flying the Wings, touring, all the major things. And I guess that's a big time when we could look at, well, the next evolution. What's the next career record? I mean, through the years, we've had songs like, you know, we covered You Raise Me Up, which is obviously an Irish written song that Josh Groban made huge. That then we had major success around the world with, you know, we did number one album in the UK, Australia, everywhere with that song. And it's probably one of our most career defining songs, and brings tears to people's eyes when we sing it, because for everything, I mean, you know, what the lyrics mean. I mean, even some of us have lost parents, and that song resonates with us now more than ever when you put yourself through or when you go through those times. So, yeah, lots of different times for Westlife. But in time, when we decide to do an album again, whatever that is, we'll start to look at all those avenues again.
That'd be exciting too. And I also want to bring up Magic, by the way, is one of the most fun songs on the record. I imagine that's probably a great live moment if you guys are doing that one, because it feels like it would be.
Magic was written for the album before that, Spectrum, and it never kind of got fully finished, and it just didn't kind of cut through. And then we just revisited it on the next album. We were like, oh, what about that song? You know, and everyone listened to it and it just seemed to work, you know. I think it always maybe was going to work, but we just didn't get it finished in time for the album that it was actually written for.
Extremely fun song. And that vibe that it's got on it, you know, it's a little different, I think, than the rest of the record. It sets it apart. It's
actually got a bit of a touch of Uptown Girl in there, I think, as well. It's actually got a bit of a going back to a Billy Joel kind of vibe in there. And it just kind of went that way naturally because the piano, the guy that we wrote it with, Jamie Scott, he's great in the piano. So he was just having fun on the piano. Big grand piano in the studio, and it was a bit like Billy Joel having fun when he's on stage. So maybe it went down that route for that reason.
Yeah, talking about 25 years, and that also got me thinking about like the era that we've been in for the past few years with like K-pop's dominance. Do you all see any parallels from, you know, the world that you came from 25 years ago, and what? Because I know it's sort of a different world, but there's got to be some similarities.
The only thing that we kind of look at is go, look, you know, stick a load of guys in a band, put them up on the stage singing love songs, and people go crazy. You know, I think that's probably the similarity. And I think, you know, for the rest of time, that's going to happen. It just moves in different avenues, different styles of music. You know, even when you look back at Bon Jovi, I mean, I'm sure they'd hate to think that they were a boy band, but they're in a kind of way, they kind of were, you know?
The Beatles,
exactly. Like, you know, so look, at the end of the day, I think, you know, popular music, pop music, as Shane said earlier on, love songs, things that we can all relate to, you know, I think that's what makes music good, right? It's stuff, it's emotion. And I think, you know, if you can make a song that touches people in whatever way it may be, if it makes them want to get up and dance, or if it makes them, you know, just have that, you know, that butterfly feel in their tummy. I think that's what it's all about. And that's what we try and do, you know, when we're putting our set list together, it's like, you know, how's the flow of this? You know, it needs to, you know, hit you in the face when we first come out and then slow down. There needs to be the sing-along moment that, you know, you need to try and place all these moments throughout the show. So, yeah, you know, like it's good fun kind of trying to figure it all out. But, you know, I think it'll always be around.
It lends itself then into the live shows, because that's what we love to do. And there's nothing like sitting down planning a tour and going out there, because the tour, you can kind of, I don't know, express yourself even more. All the songs are being played together. people are paying good money. You know, our aim is always to have people leave the arenas and stadiums, whatever, in better form or moods than they first came in. You know, and we do try and do that with creatives and song choices, you know, audiovisuals, everything, costumes, you name it. And yeah, brings it back to where we are with the tour coming up, you know, and we're actually mid-flow on the tour at the minute.
Well, you guys have become masters at it. And seriously, congratulations on the success of these shows and everything that you've been doing and the new record. And I hope that there's more records on the way down the line. I'll be listening. But seriously, congrats, guys. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you. Great interview. Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
that was really good, man. Thank you.
And my thanks to Westlife touring North America in March of 2024. Toronto, Boston, New York City, Chicago, all on that tour. So thanks to Westlife. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the whole series. Again, you'll get three new interviews sent to you every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you can keep up with your favorite artists and discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcasts, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. After that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classic tracks of the 70s, 80s, 90s. We got the best in the new music. And you get, we celebrate some anniversaries. There are lots of music news, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows, I played the music of the Staple Singers and the Doors, Ann Peebles, U2, Morrissey, Talking Heads, Sarah Bareilles, Shungudzo, The Last Dinner Party, Desiree, Joni Mitchell, Moby, Iron and Wine, Emily Sandé, Hoover Phonic, PM Dawn, Salt, Mike Doty, Michael Franti, Fleetwood Mac, The Beach Boys, Queens of the Stone Age, The Foo Fighters, Prince, Killer Mike, and I had my interview with Ellie Kemper, who you know from The Office or The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight at 6 p.m. when you listen to WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me in any of the social media spots. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Do you know what? Yeah, if you stand back for a second, Okay, and let it relax and see if it does staying for a second. There you go. See, not my first audio, guys.
Yeah, every time somebody stands in front of that window, it sort of changes because it starts picking
up. Don't bring your hand any further.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.